This is a May Luna Media production. You're listening to Love, Light, and Black Holes. I'm your host, Morgan Garza, here to remind you of your disco ball soul so you can dance with your darkness. If you're sick of love and light spirituality like I was, you're in the right place. We keep it real, go deep, and give voice to your shadow so your light shines even brighter. Enter the void. Welcome back, Shame Slayers and Shadow Sparklers. It's time to buckle up because we are in eclipse season, and this is major. Every eclipse season is a quickening, a pushing through of timelines, a collapsing of timelines, and a reorienting of our experience of light and dark itself. It is a threshold portal, but we are also in the threshold season as we come to the end of winter, and we are moving towards spring, which begins in the middle of March with the equinox and Aries season. And so we are in a very special time period in terms of seasons and the astro and cosmos right now. And this eclipse portal does not care about your vision board. It doesn't respond to hustle. It doesn't reward pretending. It doesn't want you to manifest all of the things with the new moon that is happening on February 17th. This new moon in Aquarius on February 17th is also the Lunar New Year and Chinese New Year as we move from the wood snake year to the fire horse year, which we've talked about before. But this is major, and it doesn't care. Eclipses don't care what you have planned on your vision board. They don't care what you are manifesting. They don't care what you are wanting to bring into the world. Eclipse season is like, universe, take the wheel, and I am taking over, because logic had its chance and astrology is here to take us to the finish line. And that finish line is something that we might not even know of. We might not expect it. We have no idea where we're going. And eclipses are the unexpected. They bring about change swiftly at lightning speed. There are also studies about how they affect our circadian rhythm, our sleep, our digestion, our nervous system. We are playing with light and dark because gravity and the sun and moon are in this dance in the sky that affects us on Earth. Of course it does. And so the question is, who are you becoming when the old story no longer fits, but the new one isn't fully formed yet? Eclipses move things whether you're ready or not. And that specific question, who are you becoming when the old story no longer fits, but the new one isn't fully formed yet, is exactly what this solar eclipse in Aquarius on February 17th is about. It's not a personal glow up. It's not putting you into this beautiful limelight where you are bathed in blessings, although that may happen. What you can expect is a collective identity level shift. This is asking where you've outgrown the roles, rules, and narratives you've inherited, especially the ones that you kept palatable and agreeable. Because Aquarius does not buck around. Like, how are you quietly disconnected from your truth? And in these final moments of the snake year, if you're listening to this in real time, this is the first week of February. How can you continue to shed these old identities? These old ways of being, these old beliefs, these old things that you thought you had to do when really you don't. You are the only person keeping yourself in these ways of being. Because Aquarius comes in as the rebel, comes in to shake shit up. Every season that we have Aquarius, we are met with this collective disruption. And of course, we are seeing that in the world right now, in the world. Not just the United States, not just your community. This is on a macro level that we are seeing uprisings and revolutions and pushback of people against government. This is literally, you cannot write this shit. Aquarius doesn't want to fit in. It wants honesty. So that can feel super disorienting. So if you've been feeling wired and tired at the same time, if your sleep is weird, if your nervous system feels like it's hovering between excitement and exhaustion, or panic and purpose, you are between the worlds. You are between realities. You are between here and there. This is very much thank you, next energy. But this is where it gets really interesting, because there's a lot of astrology that is playing into the energy that is already super palpable with eclipse season. And I absolutely love looking at the intermingling of astrology. I'm not an astrologer, but I understand astrology well enough to relay to you what is going on and how this can benefit you and how you can look out for things and how you can work with all of this energy, because we have, like I mentioned, all of last year, which I was very, very excited about, all outer planets change signs. And that means that last year they were at 0 degrees. That is like the beginning of the seed of what this is going to fold out of and into for the next, some of them, decades. Some of them we will never experience that planet in that previous sign again. Pluto in Aquarius, for example, Uranus in Taurus, for example, Neptune in Pisces, for example. All of these shifts are happening on major levels. These generational planets are changing our society, our culture. And this is so fucking major. And I love it and I'm here for it. And we are going to get into what all of this means. So buckle up, because eclipses are not asking for your effort. They don't want to know what you want to manifest. They want your honesty. And if you are not being honest with yourself, you are gonna get dragged into a new reality. Eclipses happen when the sun, moon, and earth align. So light is getting interrupted. What's normally conscious goes offline temporarily, and what's unconscious gets louder. We see this in nature. Animals respond to eclipses in a major way. They'll go under trees or inside a stable or a barn if they're domesticated animals with a structure when eclipses are happening in the sky, because they believe that this is night, or they just know intuitively, instinctively, that eclipses are not meant to be basked in. Like, we want to stand under a beautiful full moon and howl at it and feel its light on us and see it coming through the window. Eclipses are a different energy, and they were, of course, feared for millennia before we understood what they really were. They were seen as bad omens. And we are in the Goldilocks zone, where the sun and the moon are the perfect distance away from each other that the moon can completely block out the sun, which is very rare, apparently, in the universe, as I am learning. And as I talked about the circadian rhythm and the geomagnetic shifts that have been studied that literally change our body because we are responding to that shift in light and gravity. Our nervous system cares about light and rhythm and safety, but this astrology affects us on this human scale. And this is how it's going to get more wild, because listen to this astrology that's happening. So we have the new moon happening in Aquarius with a solar eclipse. New moon, solar eclipse, full moon, lunar eclipse near the North Node. And this is collective energy, future path. So we're exploring Aquarian themes of belonging versus fitting in, truth versus approval, individuality within the collective, and systems breaking and reforming, which, yes, hello, this is happening on a major scale. And then the big backdrop, when we zoom out of just this eclipse season that is quickening and collapsing the timelines of what is inevitably going to be happening anyways, we also have Uranus direct. Uranus just moved out of Taurus, where it has been for a long time, and now it is moving into Gemini. And this is disruption and truth and shocks and liberation and the absolute unexpected. This is when internal realizations equal external change, because there's so much going on with Uranus that we know for sure to expect the unexpected, because that is always what is going on with Uranus itself. And then we have Saturn moving into Aries. And when Saturn was in Pisces, it is illusion. Saturn is the daddy of the zodiac, the fast-moving planet, the one that wants to make a structure, make a plan, build generational wealth, have a really strong foundation. And that is really hard to do in dreamy, watery, elusive Pisces. And now that we're moving into Aries, Saturn is responsibility and discipline. Aries is action and identity and selfhood. And so this is courage without certainty, knowing that, yes, you can handle whatever it is, but you don't know where this path is leading you, but we're going to forge it anyways. We're going to cut through the forest. We're going to carve a path of our own. And this is really the end of spiritual procrastination. You don't need more insight. You need embodiment. You need to put all of the things that you've been learning in Saturn and Pisces into action, into motion, into something that is tangible and something that you can see it turning in to something else. Aries is not the best at finishing things, but they are the starters. They are the first zodiac sign in the astrological calendar, in the astrological wheel. And they focus on setting a lot of fires and seeing what sticks. So this is the end of spiritual procrastination. And then Saturn and Neptune, where structure met soul, we are moving out of what dreams we were dreaming and couldn't really put into place. Saturn and Neptune was just the era of I'm feeling into it and let's just see how it goes. And that is really difficult for a planet like Saturn to be in. So if you felt frustrated over the past few years of having a hard time just getting shit done, that is why, because Saturn has this idea and this structure and this plan, 7-point plan and backups A, B, C, and D. And then Neptune just kind of scatters all of that. And then it's like, wait, what was I thinking about? What did I want to do? How did that come together? That is all ending. And we are now moving into this massive forward motion. But Aries can be a little bit aggro, if I'm being honest, because Aries is the god of war. Aries is the starter, the pusher, the one who is going to forge through the fire, who is going to cut through the crowd, who is going to say the thing, do the thing first. And that can be a little jarring for some people. So just look out for that aggressive tone that can follow Aries and move more into the structure, the plan to keep it centered. So just to give you some dates on this so you have context in your life, Uranus stationed direct on February 3rd. So it was retrograde and then it went direct on February 3rd from Gemini back into Taurus, where it's going to be moving direct for the last time in our lifetimes, and then it will move into Gemini on May 21st. So that is the planet of revolution, awakening, disruption. And when it stations direct in Taurus for the last time, it is finishing that cycle that it started. It is ending a period of inner recalibration and forcing breakthrough action, especially around security, values, and what you're willing to stand for. And then Saturn entered Aries on February 13th, or well, will be entering. So when Saturn moves into Aries, that's when we're talking about the demanding structured courage rather than the passive endurance, which we experienced when Saturn was in Neptune. And then we have Neptune in Aries, which happened on January 26th, marking the start of a 14-year transit through, again, Aries, the sign of the warrior, the god of war, the movement, the starter, the initiator, the independent one, lasting until 2039. So this is major. This spiritual warrior archetype is a shift towards merging spiritual, intuitive, or artistic pursuits, which is Neptune, with direct physical action in Aries. So this is individual identity and agency versus collective action. So this focus on personal willpower and pioneering can manifest as brave activism or, in its shadow, impulsive conflicts. And we're kind of seeing both happen. I mean, you can't make this shit up. It is so wild when you correlate astrology with collective happenings because they are always so online, so on point. And then, of course, we have Mercury retrograde, everyone's favorite transit. Mercury retrograde is happening in Pisces, February 26th to March 20th. And again, Mercury is everyone's favorite complainer. We blame everything on Mercury. If our travel is fucked up, if our tech is fucked up, if our communication is a total speaking different languages, this is who we blame. Mercury gets a bad rap, but it also is necessary. I love a Mercury retrograde because it is a necessary pause. It requires you to stop and think and take a moment before you speak. And if you're conscious of it, if you're aware of it happening and the dates that it's going on, you can really start to look out for things and be like, okay, that's just like totally Mercury retrograde messing that thing up over there, scrambling this over here. I'm just gonna take a beat, take a step back, triple check my travel plans if you're traveling during Mercury retrograde. And knowing that this is a time for introspection and artistic endeavors and listening to your inner voice and really just slowing down. We have to have the collapse, the expansion, and the contraction. So in astrology, every single month, we have the opportunity to expand or to contract and come in and reflect. And then we expand and we put all of that into practice and we see where it wants to go. So for example, right now we're in Aquarius season. This is an expansive season. We are moving with the collective. We are having big ideas. We are wanting to be rebellious. We are challenging our own internal structures and identities. And then in Pisces season, it's a contraction. We go within, deeply within, the deepest of the entire astrological season. We go within in Pisces season to rest, to reflect, to be intuitive, to listen to our psychic powers, to listen to our body, to listen to our intuition, to speak to spirit. And then come Aries season, we expand again and we put all of that out into the universe and say, these are all my lessons from Pisces season. This is everything that I want to put out into the universe after experiencing that month of introspection. And we put it all out and we blast it out there. And Aries is just the fighter, the getter, the goer, the beginner. And then in Taurus season, we contract again and we make the systems, we set the processes, we create the wealth funnels and systems of financial gain and revenue streams. And we take time for rest and sex and pleasure and great food and beautiful art and soft fabrics. And on it goes. Expansion, contraction. This is the most beautiful thing about following the astrological calendar, because you see that nature is never blooming, not even in the cosmos. So we put so much pressure on ourselves to always be blooming, to always be creating, to always be performing, to always be producing, when in reality, we have to have necessary contraction, necessary pause, necessary rest in retrogrades, in seasons of contraction in the astrological calendar and the zodiac. Because if we pushed continuously, we would most certainly burn out. And many people who do burn out don't give themselves time for contraction or for rest or for reflection or for digestion. And so the parasympathetic nervous system is fucking frazzled. It cannot rest. So we stay in this heightened state of awareness, of fight or flight, of panic. And we don't even realize it because the body is so amazing at adaptation and resiliency that we just keep going. And we think that it is just normal. We get so used to functioning below level, below par, that we don't even consider to think for a second, wow, is this serving me? Is this something that is working out for me? Or am I just in this space of pushing? It is so important to rest. It is so important to take a moment to feel into the pause and to take that sacred pause before speaking, which is exactly what Mercury retrograde is here to do. Mercury is the planet of communication, of travel, of technology. When this planet is retrograde, conversations can feel clunky or difficult or like you're speaking different languages, even within yourself. And so if you take this as a moment to say, hey, before I just blast whatever is coming out of my brain, out of my mouth, I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to take a minute, because in this state of discombobulated communication, you might say something out of reaction, out of a knee jerk that you don't really want to say, that you don't really mean, that you don't really feel. And so taking this moment of pause is super, super incredible. So take that with you about Mercury retrograde. Let's get back into the eclipse portal itself, because this is major. Eclipses don't feel magical all the time. They can feel really destabilizing. And I'll tell you a story about one eclipse season in particular in 2023. My husband and I were thinking about leaving Denver. I'd lived there for 6 years. He, born and raised, grew up there. And we were looking for a change. We wanted a bigger home. We wanted to start a family. And we came down to Arizona to visit our parents. His parents have a house in Tucson. My parents live in Phoenix. And we came during winter, or like February, March, and it was eclipse season. And we, quote unquote, accidentally bought a house. We love to joke that we accidentally bought it because we're like, what the fuck are we doing here? I grew up here. I swore I would never come back, even though I've come back so many times after living abroad and traveling and all of the things. So we saw this house. We decided we would just look. And we found this house. And my dad is a realtor, or was a realtor. He's dead now. But he printed out all of these MLS properties for us, all these properties off of MLS, like printed them. I didn't even look on Zillow. I don't even know why. He printed all of these properties off for us that were in the, you know, things that we wanted, all of the qualifications that we wanted. And I'm thumbing through them. I find this one, the house that we currently live in. I pull it out. I say, I want to go see this one. 24 hours later, we went to see it. 48 hours, we were pre-approved for a loan. And 72 hours later, we were under contract. We saw it on a Wednesday, and by Friday, we were under contract. And we were like, what the fuck are we doing? This is not what we wanted. This is not what we talked about. This was kind of like the opposite of everything. But I kept coming back to this place of, I trust. The house is beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's remodeled. It's from the 1960s. It's a dope ranch style. So it's all one floor. And it's just like a really cool vibe directly across the street from a park. We have a giant yard and pool. It was just ideal when we were looking at it. And we just kind of got swept up in this river of okay, of trusting the universe. And I, obviously being who I am, I knew it was eclipse season. So I was like, this is happening for a reason. And it might not be what I want, but I'm pretty sure it's what I need. Lo and behold, we move in June. And in September, my dad gets diagnosed with inoperable pancreatic cancer, the worst. And I was 5 minutes away. My house is 5 minutes away from my parents' house. And so this is the perfect example of trust. I had all of these things that I wanted that did not include living in Arizona. This was the last place I wanted to live. And within Arizona, where I am, the city that I'm in, is the last place that I wanted to live. I was thinking elsewhere, anywhere, literally anywhere but here. But as this unfolded, the way that it was happening, the ease, the speed, and it wasn't an urgent speed, it was a no blocks speed, it was a path of least resistance, that I kept coming back to my center and kept telling myself, this isn't what I want, but it's what I need. I was feeling the call of the desert. I was feeling about being closer to my parents, and I missed them, and I wanted to be closer to family, my family. Of course, my husband's entire family is in Denver, but it was this place of radical trust, of knowing that eclipse season was serving me what I needed, not exactly what I wanted. It wasn't coming in the package that I imagined it would. And it ended up being the most perfectly bittersweet situation, so that I could take my dad to every single appointment. I could go check on him during the day. I could go hang out with my parents and help my mom when she got home from work. She's now retired, but I was present and I was available and I was close, and it was beautiful and wonderful, and the honor of my life to have been able to care for my dad in his final days like that. But I'm telling you this because eclipse seasons don't ask. They take you. They usher you into a new beginning that you do not have as much of a say over as you do at other times of the year. I refrain from active manifesting during eclipse season. This is a massive, massive controversy on the internets, on the social medias of the world. because everyone is like, oh, you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want. Don't let anyone tell you what to do and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes, of course, I believe that 100%. I'm a witch. I believe in astrology. I flow with all of these. But because I have seen this play out time and time again in my life, that when eclipse season comes, it is the unexpected. It is faster than you could think possible. And it is taking you somewhere that you never thought you would go on your own. But it is actually exactly where you need to be. You just couldn't see it. And this isn't that you have no free will. It's just that maybe just stop gripping, stop attaching, stop focusing so much on your vision board, on the things that you wanted to create, on this list of wants and desires, and checking in continuously with the universe saying, when is my order up? Where's the thing that I ordered? When am I getting what was promised to me, what I asked for, what I know is coming? Because that is not what is going to happen. And so rather than focus so much on this active manifesting during eclipse season, take a break for 1 week. It's 1 week. Well, really, it's a month. But the new moon is when we typically manifest. Just don't do it for this one eclipse season and see what happens. Because the more that you're gripping, the more that you're attaching, the more that you are really wanting a certain specific outcome to happen, especially in a certain time period, you're expending your energy, you are wasting your energy, and you are going to be inevitably disappointed when that thing shows up different or when that thing doesn't show up at all, because the universe is like, honey, no, this is where you need to be to go to where you actually want to go. This is the bridge that you didn't think that you needed to cross to get to where you want to be. We're going there. We're getting there. Like, I've got it in my GPS. I've got you. You've got to trust me, because this is unexpected and this is not going to look how you thought it would. But trust, because the brain does not know how to manage, how to navigate, how to move into with ease the unknown. And fear is not intuition. It's your nervous system reacting to change. I was terrified when we bought a house in Phoenix. I cried. I wasn't celebrating. I wasn't jumping up and down. It was a really weird feeling because I was like, fuck. We just bought a house and now we have to do this. We actually have to do it. And we left our dog Cooper here with my parents for a month while we drove back home, packed everything up, got a U-Haul, did all of the things, rented our house out in Denver, and drove back down. And we were freaking out. It felt like fear. It felt so unsafe. It felt like this isn't at all what we want to be doing. Why are we doing this? Because we were trusting, but we were also moving into a massive unknown, an unknown that I said I would never want to explore again by living back in Arizona, back in Phoenix. And it wasn't celebratory. It was a strange energy. But once we got through that, and once we got here, it all started making sense why we needed to be here, why this was the place that was chosen by our intuition and not by our mind. And a couple episodes ago, we talked about the difference between anxiety and intuition. And this is exactly that. I had massive anxiety about moving here. My intuition meter was broken, but I was trusting, because underneath that anxiety, I was being led. I was being guided by my own soul, by my own heart, into this new beginning that I said I never wanted enough. And it was wobbly. It was shaky. I was questioning everything, questioning the direction. I was questioning myself. I was questioning, what have we just done? But because of this unknown, and because I was able to move through that fear and just kept taking the next step, the most incredible thing happened. On the way down, I was driving the U-Haul and the odometer kept giving me angel numbers. It was 1, 2, 3, 4. It was 444. I just kept seeing it. I have a really shaky video on my phone of it, because that was my sign that this was right. Even though I was full of fear, I was full of anxiety, I was full of uncertainty, I was questioning everything. I had no clue why we were doing what we were doing and why it didn't feel exciting. But the universe was coming in to say, trust me, trust me, trust me. Step after step, turn after turn, box after box, trust me. And I did. And rather than self-sabotage and cancel the whole deal and pull out of the contract and not get the house, we moved forward. Because even though that uncertainty felt dangerous and scary and not right, it was exactly right. It was exactly where I needed to be. So within eclipse season, move without attachment. It's not asking you to manifest or decide or reinvent or fix yourself. It's asking you to notice what's unraveling, especially as we come to the end of the snake year and we're moving towards the fire horse, which starts on February 17th. Notice what's unraveling. Stop forcing clarity. Give yourself a moment of that contraction that we talked about rather than continuously looking for the expansion. And be really fucking honest about what's no longer fitting. This is so essential in life in general, to be honest with yourself, to be able to call shit out, call it like it is, and not just want things to happen so that they can happen in the way that you decided that you wanted them to. Let your body vote before your brain does. Your body knows, your heart knows, your soul knows, the mind, the brain, the ego comes in and says, this isn't what we wanted. I swore I would never live here again. I don't know anyone here. All of my friends are elsewhere or they've moved. The few people that I do know here who are really like my core best friends, they have kids, they live far away, like making all of these excuses when really it wasn't a problem to solve. It was emotional resilience and allowing myself to stop forcing what I had decided was supposed to happen. And as we see these systems shifting in the collective, old power structures are destabilizing and new leadership is starting to come through, we don't know what it looks like. The future isn't being built by the loudest people. It's being built by authenticity, the ones who have each other's backs, the ones who are yelling ICE out and protecting neighbors and helping people through these very difficult, very dangerous, very violent times in the collective globally. We are not only dealing with this in the United States. It is happening around the world. So if you feel like you're in between versions of yourself, good. If you feel like you can't go back but don't know how to go forward, that's okay. That's the portal. And because it's Aquarius season, if you feel like you need to get involved, do it. Donate, support, make meals. Do something that is in the direction of where you want to go, of how you want to see the world play out, of helping this transition, this revolution in your own small way. You don't need to rush this. Eclipse season is doing that for you. And eclipse season isn't in a rush. It's just a collapsed timeline. It is movement without friction. So don't add more friction by trying to manifest through this. This is when the light comes back. Once we play with this shadow and light between the solar eclipse and then the lunar eclipse, then we are out of the portal and we are moving into a time that will be different forever. You won't be who you were before, and that's the point. Let me know what is collapsing for you. Let me know what is moving through you this eclipse season. I love hearing from you. If you love listening, please consider leaving a review. It helps the show. It helps more shadow sparklers and shame slayers find us. And move with intention. I am sending you all my love, all of my light, and honoring your black holes through this transition. I'll see you next week. Thanks for diving into the void with me. If today lit something up in you or cracked something open, follow the show and leave a review so we can magnetize more shame slayers and shadow sparklers into this world. Want more? Step through the portal at lovelightandblackholes.com. That's where the wild magic lives. Until next time, dance with your darkness like it's your favorite song and watch the whole universe light up.